I want to begin this morning in Psalms 46 for the time that I try to stand before you. Psalms 46. We don't know who the author of Psalms 46 is, but I'll tell you, it's one of my favorites. And I feel like you're very familiar with it. But beginning at the start of that psalm, the psalmist writes about God being our refuge. And I like the thought about us having a refuge. I really do, because I have now come to understand, because of the world that I live in and the world that you live in and the things that are taking place around us, I realize now more and more the importance of you and I having a refuge. A refuge is a place to go where you have a place of safety. And the psalmist says that God is our refuge. And in fact, I'll just tell you now, the psalmist is going to say that three different times in this short little psalm. He's going to say three times that God is our refuge. You know, that's something that I feel is good for you and I to be reminded of and to remind one another. Not only is God our refuge, but he's our strength also, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then there's that little word, Selah. It says, it sounds to me like in verses 2 and 3, though the world may be burning down around us, we will not fear. We will not fear because we have a refuge. We have someone who is the source of our strength and is a very present help in trouble. I always want you to remember that the psalmist says that God is our strength. He's our place of safety. But very importantly, he is our very present help in time of trouble. How sad is it when we read sometimes of someone who has an emergency of some sort and they need help or they call for help and it takes a long time for help to arrive? Isn't that always sad when we see that or hear about that? And it happens for various reasons. But God is a very present help. He's always there. He's always available for you and I. So I love that. And I'm glad to know that our refuge and the source of our strength, he's always there for us to call on him. But what I really like is the psalmist says that though the world may be distressed and burning down, so to speak, around us, you and I will not fear. Now, I love that. He says, though the waters roar and are troubled, then the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then there's that little word, that Selah. Now, we don't know 100% for sure what that word means. It's an old Hebrew word, but many, many scholars and people who study the Bible believe that it is sort of a musical term, and it means to rest, to pause, to rest, and to consider or to contemplate what you've just read. And that's the way I lean, by the way. I kind of believe that that's the way that it's been used in the scriptures, and it's used so many times in the Psalms, which were sung. The Psalms used to be sung many times. And so it makes a lot of sense that it's a term of rest that we might pause and reflect. But he says, there's a river that the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. I like to think about the city of God. You know, in the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe there's a city that's called the heavenly Jerusalem. And it's a city that God has built. And I like to think about that. And I like to think about the fact that the psalmist knew this thousands of years ago and said that God is in the midst of her and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. But then he sort of changes gears and he mentions the heathen again for a moment. In verse 6, he says, "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted." I don't know that this has happened yet. He says the earth melted. I don't know that that's happened yet, but I'll tell you, one day it's going to happen. The scriptures teach us, don't they, that one day when the Lord's finished with this earth, he's going to burn it up and he's not going to need it anymore. But he's talking about the heathen raging, kingdoms being moved. And doesn't it feel like sometimes, even today in the world in which we live, doesn't it feel like the heathen are raging? People are raging about various things, aren't they? Day to day, the heathen are raging. But it says the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Pause and consider. Really stop for a moment. Stop and think about what was just said. The Lord of hosts is with us. Though the world be burning down, though the heathen might be raging around us, pause and reflect for just a moment that God is with us, the God of Jacob, and he is our refuge. "Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." He does all those things. But look at verse 10. Here's my subject for today. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. That's my subject for you today. Being still. And looking at some places in the scriptures with you today that talk about you and I being still. You know that when we look around the world around us, sometimes it almost seems like it might be burning down, doesn't it? I mean, I look at what's taking place. It seems like the waters are in a turmoil. The waters of this world have been tossed up to and fro, and they seem like they've just been muddied, and all the sediment off the bottom's been stirred up. The heathen are raging. The world seems to be burning down in certain ways. But the psalmist says, we're not going to fear because God's with us and he's our refuge. And he says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, one of the best ways people could ever learn to know something about God? How about if they would slow down and be still for a moment? Don't we sometimes feel like day to day, week to week, does life ever seem like a rat race to you? Yeah, you hear that term, a rat race. I mean, I've never seen rats racing, but I get the picture. You go watch some video from Australia, and they have a rat problem in Australia. They go outside in their backyard, and they go in a little shed or a little barn. If they have a piece of tin laying down or some boards, you pick it up, rats scatter everywhere. You ever seen a video of a compilation of video or still shots maybe over a major city that has an 8 or 12 lane freeway, and you see cars bumper to bumper in all 12 lanes? As far as you can see, all you see is a bunch of red ants. It's a lot of tail lights, and it's people going and coming, and this is happening every single day, every day, every year. This is happening. They call it the rat race. Doesn't it feel like that you and I are caught up in the middle of it sometimes? You know, something we don't do as often as people of yesteryear, they were better at it than you and I, is that they knew how to be still sometimes. I think it's good for you and I to not forget about that. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that interesting that God would tell us to stop moving so fast, stop being so busy, stop being so engaged every waking moment of our lives and just simply slow down and actually stop and be still. You can learn something about me by being still. I thought that was so interesting that God would teach us that. You know, we're not used to being still, are we? We're really not. We are not used to being still. I thought about this, but time's too precious. I'm not going to do it. But I thought about this. I said, if I took my phone out and started my timer and I said, let's just all be still for 30 seconds. You know, that's not very long. But if I did it for 30 seconds, do you know how long that would seem like? If we sat here and none of us moved or said a word for 30 seconds, I'll tell you, it would feel foreign to us. It really would. We are so used to blowing and going every week. How about be still sometimes that we might reflect upon God, who is our strength and our refuge and our ever-present help in time of trouble? I think it would help us. I love that. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Pause and contemplate. Pause and reflect and consider on that for a few minutes. Don't you just love that? Don't you love the thoughts of the psalmist being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, encouraging us to be still and know God? The God of this universe, the God that spoke this world into existence, the God that spoke light itself into existence, the God that formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils, we can know something about him if we would just simply be still. I submit to you this morning, we are not still often enough. I want to encourage you to always remember what the psalmist said here about knowing God and about being still and how that we may know something about him. There are several places in the scriptures this morning that speak of stillness. I'm going to back up and go to Psalms 4, the fourth division of the Psalms. Back up a few pages here. And I'm going to read to you what David wrote in Psalms 4. David says, "Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? And how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing?" And there's that word David uses, Selah. Pause and reflect for a moment. "But know something," in verse 3. "Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call unto him." Did you know this morning that the Lord has set apart or sanctified you for himself? The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. That's what the word sanctify means. It means to set apart for a holy use. God has set you and all of his children apart. He's done it and he has set you apart for himself. You see, God gets all the glory, doesn't he? God gets all the credit. He gets all the glory for everything about us. He's made us. He has made us what we are. He's taken us and in many cases would not have amounted to anything, but he's made us to be someone and he has set us apart for his own use. And I love that. That is good for a little child of God to remember what God has done. In fact, do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 17 when he's praying? This is what I call his high priestly prayer. I call the Lord's Prayer, which most people call. I'll say that's more of a model prayer, but this is the Lord praying to his heavenly Father himself. This is his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. And one of the things that Jesus prayed for is he said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart, Father, through thy truth. Do you know one of the great benefits and one of the great reasons you and I are here together this morning? Well, first and foremost is to worship God. We understand that. We acknowledge that. We're here to worship God. We're here to praise Him and to try to lift up the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But another great benefit is we are receiving and we are learning about the truth of God. I surely hope we are. I hope and pray that the Lord is helping us learn together by studying His Word. We're learning about the truth of God. And what did Jesus say? He says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have the one book before us this morning that of all the books that have ever been written in this world, this one book, you could always say this about it and you'd never be wrong. This is a book of truth. And here we are trying to study it together. A little later in that same prayer, he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus says, I set myself apart that they also might be sanctified and set apart through the truth for the holy use of God. You remember what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians? Paul confirmed this very same thought and this very same principle. Paul confirmed it in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul said that God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. There it is again, the truth. God has set you apart by causing you to understand and believe the truth when you hear it and when you read it. God has set you apart in that way. I love that. David says, know that the Lord hath set apart him that's godly for himself. And the Lord will hear when I call unto him. The reason God will hear your prayers, we've talked a lot about prayers lately, haven't we? Talked about it last week, about praying with importunity. We talked a lot about prayer. But the reason God will hear your prayers is because he has set you aside for his own use. He has sanctified you and he has set you aside and he's made you holy. Therefore, he will hear your prayers when you pray to him. That's what David says. But David also says this in verse 4. He says, stand in awe. You know, a lot of us grew up in the last number of years, you hear people use the word awesome a lot. Probably most of us use the word awesome sometimes. But did you know that it applies to God as well? David says, stand in awe. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. He says, when I call, God hears my prayers. He says, when I call and when I was in distress, God enlarges me. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And he says, stand in awe, considering God. He says, commune with your own heart. You have a conversation with the Lord. You can do that in your own bed sometimes. And he says, but be still. Even David understood that sometimes we need to be still to have a conversation with God. You know, if you and I are talking and we're trying to have a conversation about something and I just keep on doing what it is, whatever it is I'm doing. If I turn around and I'm shuffling with books or papers or something and you're talking, you're almost knowing that he's really not hearing me. He's really not giving me his full attention. Well, do you know, if you and I cannot stop for a moment and be still when we speak to God, don't you feel like God knows we're not really giving him our full attention? Sometimes we just need to be still when we speak to God. I believe that's what David is saying. This busy world that we live in, you know, you have to reserve time to read your Bible. If you don't reserve a time in the day to read a little bit of your Bible, it's not going to get done. It won't happen. You have to set aside a time. You have to give it some priority and devote a little bit of time to it. It will not happen. The same thing with communing with God and praying and communicating with God and with Jesus Christ. You have to set aside some time to do that. You know what he said? He said, stand in awe. Do you stand in awe of your God? I sure hope that you do. I hope that you stand in awe of your God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he has done for us. But he says to be still, and then he uses that word, Selah, again, to pause and contemplate that. You know, it sounds like we need to think a little bit about slowing down sometimes, doesn't it? We're so busy, and we think that things are so important, and many things are. There are certainly many important things in life, but you know, sometimes some of these things are not near as important as we think they are. Some of the things that we expend so much of our precious energy on turn out to be nothing. How about if we start slowing down and to be a little bit more still so that we can know something about God and that we might be able to speak a little more to God by being still? Let's look at another place. Let's go to 1 Kings for a moment. 1 Kings in chapter 19. Here's a story in the scriptures that you're all familiar with concerning the prophet Elijah. You know, right after Elijah's great victory over the prophets of Baal, and the Lord helped him to have a great victory over those prophets, right after that, wicked Jezebel put a bounty out on Elijah's life and said that he is going to be dead by this time tomorrow. Wicked Ahab and wicked his wife Jezebel. And when Elijah heard that, he took off running for his life. And he fled, which any of us would do. And as you read down through chapter 19, you'll understand that the Lord had sent an angel to help him along his way, along his journey, as he's fleeing from wicked Jezebel. And then in about verse 9, you'll find him arriving at a cave. And we find Elijah arrives at a cave, and it says that he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And of course, he answered, and he said, well, I've been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So listen to what the Lord tells him. The Lord says in verse 11, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. There's a lot of places in the scriptures where it speaks of God's voice sounding like thunder. Now, I've heard a lot of thunder in my life. I've heard some thunder that made me jump. It was so loud. It was so sudden and so loud and such a loud crack and a boom, and it shook my house and made me jump. A lot of places that speak of God's voice sounding like thunder. Did you know God is able to modulate his voice? You know, you and I have a little bit of ability. We can modulate our voice. Sometimes we can speak louder if we need to, and sometimes we can speak very soft. But the Lord can also do that. And when he spoke to Elijah, He says, you go stand out here, and they had the great wind. I've never seen a wind strong enough to break rocks, have you? Can you imagine the sound of a wind that is strong enough to break rocks? There's a great wind, there's an earthquake, and then there's a fire. Can you imagine some of the noise associated with all that commotion? But the Lord wasn't in any of that. But it says, but after that, a still, small voice Elijah heard. I don't know, have you ever thought about that? What is a still voice? I mean, I think I know what a small voice is. Maybe it's not very loud. But what about a still voice? What is a still voice? Well, I'm not sure, but I thought about this. You know, when you and I hear, it's basically a miracle how we hear sounds. Now, some of you younger ones, you're a lot more familiar with this than I am because you've went over it probably in science class. It's been a lot of years for me since I went over it. But we basically hear because of sound waves. Sound waves travel through the air and they come to our ears and it reaches our eardrum deep down in our ear. The sound waves hit the eardrum and it causes our eardrums to begin vibrating. Well, right behind our eardrums, there are three tiny bones, and they begin to vibrate, and they begin to increase or amplify those waves. And it's just a miracle how God has designed all this, the sound waves vibrating the eardrum, and then those three tiny bones amplifying and causing that to be even greater. And then even deeper in the ear, there is a device called the cochlea, and it's a little snail-like looking piece of the ear inside, and it's filled with fluid. And so those vibrations that have now come through the eardrum and the little bones have amplified it, those vibrations begin going through the fluid, and they begin rippling through the fluid in the cochlea, and then there's some little hairs attached to the cochlea, and they begin to vibrate. And then somehow, and after all of that taking place, some of those hairs bend over and they open up a little crevice that begins to be filled with a chemical from the body. And then that chemical ends up through the auditory nerve, sending a signal to our brain, which converts it into something we know as a sound. It's just a miracle of science. So that's how we hear. And you know, there's a lot of people who feel like, well, I guess all that just happened. It just fell into place just by cosmic chance, right? That's what a lot of people believe. If you believe in evolution, you think all that just happened by cosmic chance. I'll tell you, you have to have more faith to believe in evolution than you do to believe in the God of the Bible who created everything. But something tells me that's not the type of sound that Elijah heard. I don't think he heard normal sound that had all these sound waves coming and vibrating the eardrum and sending that through the auditory nerve to the brain, because he heard a still voice. God is able to speak to his people with a still voice. It doesn't go through this ear. It doesn't go through the eardrum. But yet God can speak to you in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit. God can speak to your spirit. I believe it's with a still voice the way he does that. I've known a couple of people that have heard God speak to them a few words, and they'll tell you they heard it, but it wasn't with this ear. Now I know it's true. I believe that's the same voice that Elijah heard when the Lord spake to him with a still, small voice. And so it was so that when Elijah heard it, he wrapped up his face in his mantle. He went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? The Lord asked him again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And they went on and they had a conversation. I'm sure that with all that commotion taking place, with a fire and a great wind, I've lived through several hurricanes that had winds over 100 miles an hour. Some of you probably have here as well. I've been through some. I can't tell you how noisy it is when the wind is blowing 100 miles an hour. Can you imagine 150? It is so noisy. Can you imagine a wind, though, strong enough to break rocks, how noisy it would be? You got all that commotion taking place. You got a fire going on. And I've been in a big fire before, too. I worked at an oil refinery and a chemical plant. I've been in the middle of some big fires and in some big training scenarios. I'll tell you, even fire can be noisy. And then you had the earthquake taking place, and you had all that, a lot of commotion. Reminds me of this world, doesn't it? There's a lot of commotion going on in this world. But God's not always in it. He's not always in the commotion of this world. How in the world are you and I ever going to hear God if he happens to speak to us with a still, small voice? How are we going to hear him if we can't be still for a minute? If he's going to speak with a still, small voice, and we're caught up in the earthquakes and floods and fires of this world, how are we going to ever hear God speaking to us? I say we need to be still. We need to be still sometimes. And if we're going to be still, as David says, when we speak to the Lord, it might also be good to be still as we listen for the Lord's response. David says, let's be still when we're praying to him. He says he will answer our prayers. How about if we be still when we listen for the Lord to speak to us? I believe God has various ways that he communicates with his people. I'm afraid sometimes you and I are simply too busy and we won't stop long enough to hear what he has to say. I can tell you, I've been my case. I'll raise my hand and tell you I've done that before myself. You know, sometimes we just need to stop what we're doing. We just need to pause and contemplate and reflect and consider what is it we're doing. We need to rest for a moment, and we need to be still. Do you remember when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt? Do you remember that great journey? How he went in there, and he had Moses that he had chosen, Moses and Aaron. They went in, and they did all of these miracles before Pharaoh. And finally, Pharaoh let them go, and so they got the entire nation of Israel there, gathered themselves up. They spoiled all their neighbors, by the way. They took a lot of gold and silver and all from the Egyptians with them. And they gathered up, and away they went. And they went out of Egypt. And do you remember how they got up next to the Red Sea? They got real close to the Red Sea, and they looked behind them, and guess who's coming? It's Pharaoh and all of his chariots and his army. Pharaoh has thought it over, and he says, why in the world did we let them go? They were working for us. They were building bricks, and they were doing hard labor for us. Why did we let them go? So let's go back and get them, even though of what they've already been through with those 10 plagues the Lord had put on them. I guess they still were not convinced. Pharaoh thought that he had the Israelites trapped against the Red Sea, didn't he? He thought he had them trapped, and there's nowhere to go. Do you remember what the Lord did, though? Do you remember what the Lord did? When the Israelites turned, and they got up next to the Red Sea, and they turned around, and they looked behind themselves, and they saw Pharaoh and all of those chariots coming, they began to fear. And they were frightened, and they were scared, and they began to question Moses, and they said, Moses, were there not enough graves in Egypt? Is that why you've brought us out here so we can die out here in the wilderness? Is that what it was? It did not have enough graves for all of us? And they were scared to death. And you remember what Moses told them? You have to love this. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. Don't you love what Moses said? You know what happened there? The Lord caused Moses to hold his hand out over the sea, and the Red Sea parted, and the entire nation of Israel went across the Red Sea, went through it and across on dry ground. Not through the muck and through the mud, but on dry ground. And it says the walls of water on either side of them, it was like protecting walls on either side, and they went across on dry ground. Well, you remember what happened. Pharaoh and his army, they tried to fall in behind them and chase them, and what happened? God closed the water on top of them. And so the Israelites looked back, and God had closed the water upon their enemies, and all they saw were floating bodies of Egyptians and chariot drivers floating all over the sea after they had safely crossed over. You know, I believe sometimes you and I need to simply stand still to see the salvation of God working in our lives. Many of us have challenges in life. Many of us have things we're praying about. Many of us have troubles, and we need solutions from God. And we need help with various matters in our life, don't we? We need a refuge. We need an ever-present help, someone who hears our prayers. We need that. But how about sometimes we just need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? That's what the Israelites did here. There's another occasion in the scriptures in 2 Chronicles. There's an occasion of where the Ammonites and the Moabites came up and attacked Jehoshaphat and Judah. Came up, they attacked them, and it was a great number of enemies coming against Judah. And it says that they were very distraught, and they were scared because of the enemies that were coming against them. But it says that all of Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, and that Jehoshaphat stood in the house of the Lord, and he prayed to God. God was pleased to hear the prayers of his people and the prayers of King Jehoshaphat. God heard the prayers, and it says that the Spirit of the Lord came down upon a man named Jehaziel, and Jehaziel said, "Thus saith the Lord." He said this to Jehoshaphat and to all of Judah. Jehaziel spoke up because he's filled with the Spirit of God. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord, for the Lord will be with you." Now here's another occasion that God's people have been told to stand still and see the salvation of God. Now this was thousands of years ago this has happened, but it's done happened twice now. And I'll just tell you, the next day Judah went out among their enemies. They wandered out there, and there were dead enemies laying everywhere. The Bible says that they had turned and began fighting themselves. Everyone killed each other, and it says there was not a single one that escaped. It was the Ammonites, and it was the Moabites, and it was the children of Seir. It was three of them, really. It said they destroyed each other, and there were so many of them. When Jehoshaphat and Judah wandered out there, it said it took them 3 days to gather up all the spoils from those dead people. They went through, and it said they had an abundance of riches and precious jewels, more than they could carry. And it said it ended up taking them 3 days to gather up all the spoil. Not only did God take care of their enemies, but look what he blessed them with. They walked away with more than what they came with great riches. You know, I believe the same could be true for us sometimes. If we would simply learn how to stand still and see the salvation of God work in our lives. You remember when the Israelites came up to the Jordan River, it's time for them to go into the land of Canaan. You remember that they came up there and the priest walked in to the water, and it said the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as they stepped in the water parted again, and the priest stood on dry ground. They stood still in the middle of Jordan, and the ground dried up beneath them, and the entire nation of Israel crossed over the Jordan River into Canaan's land by standing still and watching the salvation of God. I'm sure they had all kind of ideas in their mind. How are we going to get across the Jordan River? Look at this big company of people. Look at all the men, women, the aged people. Look at the young people. Look at all the animals with us. How are we going to get across the Jordan River? How are we supposed to go into Canaan's land? How about if you stand still and see the salvation of God? And you ended up, there you are, right there in Canaan's land. We have questions in our lives, don't we? How's this going to happen? How am I going to survive this? How am I going to accomplish this? How am I going to make it to here? How am I going to take care of this? Sometimes we just need to stand still. Here's a real famous verse that everybody's heard of, and I love this. It's Proverbs 3:5. When are we going to ever learn to do this? What does Proverbs 3:5 say? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, if we could stop leaning unto our own understanding sometimes, we might be able to stand still and see the salvation of God working in our lives. We're so quick to want to come up with the solution and feel like I have to do everything. How about if we stand still and let God work sometimes? You know, that's probably the most famous verse is Proverbs 3:5, but I love the one right after it, verse 6. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge God and let him direct our paths instead of us trying to take a bush knife and venture out and clear some uncharted path and direction that we feel like we need to go. Stand still and see the salvation of God. I'll tell you, there's another place too. There's one more I want to mention to you. There's another place in life where we need to let God work. And I guess it's very related. But in Psalms 107, the author of the Psalms not listed. We don't know who it was, but go down to verse 23, Psalms 107, 23. He says, and he writes here, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. You ever seen video of the waves that can be generated by a massive storm, such as a hurricane, out in the ocean? I mean, some of these waves may be 100 foot tall. Just amazing. He says in verse 27, they reel to and fro and they stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Have you ever felt like you were at your wit's end? You ever heard that term? I'm at my wit's end. I'm pulling out my hair. I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at my wit's end. Did you know that was a Bible term? That came from the Bible. They're at their wit's end. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. I can remember as a child my dad taking me fishing. And back then, everybody pretty much had these little aluminum John boats. We called them bateaux in Louisiana. Just an aluminum John boat. Everybody had those. I can remember being out fishing with my dad, and a great thunderstorm would blow up. And, of course, the wind would come up, and the lake would get white caps on it. A lot of times you'd have to try to run, get up under a pier, maybe take shelter, or either park the boat and get out. But I remember so many times after that storm passed, I remember the dead calm. Not even a ripple on the water. What was a few minutes ago white-capping is now settled down, and it's like a mirror almost. It is so calm. That's what I think about when I read in the scriptures and I read about how the people are going through the storms of life and they come to their wits' end. And they cry to the Lord in their trouble because He is their ever-present help. He is their strength. He is their refuge. They cry to the Lord, and He says He brings them out of their distresses, and He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. You know, when God makes the waves of our lives still, it says, then we are glad. We are glad because they be quiet. We're all so accustomed to noise. I guarantee you tomorrow morning we're going to go out in the world. There's going to be a lot of noise we're going to all encounter. But I like stillness also. I like it even more that I'm reading about it again in the scriptures. And I read about how that we are glad because the waves of the storms are now quiet. And stillness has occurred. You remember in Mark chapter 4, you remember what happened when the disciples were on a ship with the Lord and the waves and the storm began to be so great that the waves were filling up the ship? And what was Jesus doing? Asleep on a pillow. He was so worried, he was asleep on a pillow. You remember that? And they woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Do you remember his answer? He got up and he simply said, peace be still. Peace be still. And the winds and the waves stopped and they began to be frightened and be amazed because the winds and the waves would obey his voice. When he says, peace be still, you have to love that. You know what else David wrote? David wrote in Psalms 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and he leadeth me beside the still waters. I need the Lord to lead me beside still waters in my life. You know why still waters are so good? It's because those are the ones that the sheep enjoy. Sheep get anxiety. They get great anxiety if you bring a sheep near a roaring stream. They don't like water that's fast, moving quick, and is noisy. They just don't like it. They like still water. You know, if you and I are the sheep of the Lord's pasture, doesn't it follow and doesn't it make a lot of sense that you and I would enjoy still water in our life? I hope that you'll think about some of these things. I hope you'll think about some of the occasions in God's word that talks about stillness, being still and knowing God, being still and to speak to God, being still to hear God in His sometimes still small voice. Isn't that something that the God of heaven has a still small voice that He can use? And then knowing that God leads us through all these troubles and the storms of life, I hope that you know that when you call on Him that He hears your prayers. I hope you have a confidence in Him that He's going to hear and answer your prayers. May not always be in the way that you anticipate, but He's going to answer your prayers. That's the God that we serve. Let us all remember to encourage one another to be still more often in life. May God bless and keep you.